The Burning Man, written by Steve Parker and read by Homer Todiwala.
Chapter 1. Detective Inspector Johnny Clocks pressed his handkerchief to his mouth and nose to try and block out the smell, which was strongly reminiscent of burnt pork. He licked his lips. He could even taste it.
"My old Aunt Barbara used to cook everything like that," he said, his voice muffled. "Said it gave more of a taste, but I always reckoned she was full of it. My cousin Gary said she was just shit at cooking. He loved coming round our house for Sunday dinner. I mean, how the fuck can you eat food that's as black as Newgate's knocker day after day? Fat as a barrel now, he is. Found a woman who can cook properly, so he's making up for lost time." Beneath his feet, the little metal platform started to sink slightly into the mud. "Sod this, Ray. Bloody thing's sinking. Now my shoes will get covered in crap."
Detective Superintendent Ray Patterson tore his eyes away from what they'd been looking at and glanced sideways at his colleague, who was gingerly lifting his feet one at a time while casting anxious glances downward.
"I doubt it, John. You're wearing slipovers, and it's not like we're standing in a quagmire, is it?"
Having no idea what a quagmire was, Clock shrugged. In front of them, two CSIs covered from head to toe in paper suits were just finishing up. A few more minutes and they'd be done, and then they could all get out of the tent. Patterson glanced at his watch. 9:30 in the morning. Another great start to the working day. Clock shifted his feet on the plate, steadying himself.
"Where's the crime scene manager, mate?"
One of the white-suited men briefly stopped what he was doing.
"No idea, sir. Must be milling about somewhere outside." "Yeah, I figured that when I couldn't find him in this little 10x10 tent. But thanks for stating the obvious, mate. Very helpful."
The CSI, fresh-faced and young, probably about 25, looked mortified. It was difficult to tell behind the mask, but it was pretty safe to assume he'd gone a deep shade of red.
"Sir, I'm sorry, I didn't mean..."
Clocks grinned at the man's discomfort.
"Only joking, mate."
"Take no notice of my DI fella," Patterson interjected. "He always wanted to be a comedian, but no one ever seemed to laugh. Came as a bit of a shock to him. In fact, he's never gotten over it."
Patterson turned his attention back to the reason they were all there. The blackened corpse, the still smouldering source of the smell, was handcuffed to a post. Judging by the look of agony on his blackened face, he'd still been alive when somebody had set fire to him.
"What can you tell me so far?" he said to the CSI.
"Only that it was deliberate."
He shot a look at Clocks. What a dumb thing to say. Clocks rolled his eyes to the tent roof. The CSI turned to Patterson, but he was doing the same.
"What I meant was..."
"We know what you meant, son. But, to be fair, a bloke cuffed to a pole is hardly likely to have set himself on fire, is he? How'd he get hold of the matches, for a starter?"
The CSI shook his head.
"Fair point. Are you new?"
Clocks asked. The CSI nodded.
"To field work, sir, yes. Not been here too long. One of my first live ones, so to speak."
His colleague on his knees and packing up his bag kept his head down. The young'un had to learn.
"Back up a bit then, son. Take a breath and think. Tell me what you see. Tell me what you believe at this point."
Grateful that he wasn't about to get a mauling, the CSI took a few seconds to get it together.
"From what I can see, and this is only speculation at this point, sir, is that he was doused in some form of accelerant, most likely petrol, but we won't know for definite until tests have been done. We think he was about 30-odd years old, Caucasian, and judging from the look on his face, or what's left of it, he was alive when the perpetrator set him alight."
He closed the lid of his case. "And he was in agony,